Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Hey, good morning, G. And you know what? I stuck with the Saints all year long. Their defense played great yesterday. I know people will say, well, you know, they got beat, so they didn't play all that great. Well, what they didn't do is they didn't get turnovers. And what the Bucs defense did, and Devin White is a stud, by the way.
Oh, my goodness.
That guy just jumps right off the screen at you. They should make him into a running back as well as a linebacker. But, you know, they got the turnovers, man. The Saints also had a punt return that was called back due to a block in the back, which was a block in the back, no question about it. But really, it is about defense. And, you know, for players who have played defense and coaches who coach defense, understand that's what truly wins championships. Now, certainly Aaron Rodgers was great. And I don't take anything away from his offense and how he played against the number one defense, albeit with a injured Aaron Donald. But their defense played great. And the Rams really had no chance on offense. And then, you know, that just leads me to the fact that two of the brightest young stars in the league, Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes, got knocked out with concussions in their games.
Yeah.
These games are serious, man. These players are intense. This is why the divisional series always seems to be like the, even though they weren't great games, the games are intense. They are physical. They go after each other. And you could see that by the fact that there's a lot of guys getting helped off the field.
Yeah.
In these games. So
there was one great game in my mind yesterday. And unfortunately, it did involve an injury as well. But the way that Chiefs-Browns ended up in the end was a great game for me because of the high drama of it. Can Chad Henne figure this out? You know, you've got Patrick Mahomes. Once he's ruled out, you know you've got the situation with the Browns where they're spunky. Chad Henne's in there. He's going to have to do something. Throws that pick in the end zone. Gives Baker Mayfield an opportunity in a one-score game to go down there and score a touchdown and take the lead. They end up punting after that 3rd-and-11. They go to Kareem Hunt. He can't go anywhere. That's the end of that. They end up punting. And then that situation there with Chad Henne, Andy Reid, the Kansas City Chiefs offense on that 4th-and-1 after Henne on 3rd-and-14 gets 13.5 yards. That, to me, was high drama to the nth degree.
I will go get you my Cincinnati Bengals playbook that I brought in for show and tell last week.
Yeah.
We never got to it, but you'll see that play in the playbook. It's sprint right, Z out. I don't know what they call it. That's what we used to call it, and we used to run it to the left all the time, and it was always the go-to play when you needed like a yard, two or three, and you would run your fastest player. In this case, it would be Eddie Brown for me. It's Tyreek Hill for the Kansas City Chiefs, and you know, it's a gutsy call. And basically, what you saw in that game, especially in the fourth quarter and second half to some degree, that Andy Reid outcoached Kevin Stefanski. Kevin Stefanski made a couple really bad mistakes. One was throwing the challenge flag on the obvious non-fumble by Tyreek Hill. The other one was after Baker Mayfield got a first down after his quarterback sneak, they had to burn another timeout because they didn't have the play in.
Right.
I mean, and those two timeouts, losing those two timeouts really cost the Browns, especially when you think about, you know, that they punted the ball away with about 4 minutes and 9 seconds to go in the game. So if you have those two timeouts, I can understand punting the ball away. So, what are you doing? Are you going to go for it on 4th-and-11 or 4th-and-10, whatever it was, on your side of the 50? Or are you going to punt it and play defense with one timeout?
Well, so with Chad Henne, knowing that Chad Henning's the quarterback.
Right. It was not, of course... Patrick Mahomes. Phil Simms made a really good point in the post game press conference or post game show. I didn't even think about this. In week 17, Patrick Mahomes didn't play, so mm-hmm. they hadn't played for 20 days. Those top guys for Kansas City,
right.
And he came out flying. He had a great first half, and everything was trending. This is going to be a 40-point game again. But Chad Henne did start game 17 for the Chiefs after not playing all year long. Mm-hmm. And maybe that little taste of playing in a game in game 17 while resting your key players worked out for the Chiefs yesterday. And Chad's been around for a while through that bad interception, as you pointed out. But, man, sprint right out of the shotgun on fourth and one to win the game. And that's Andy Reid. You know, Andy Reid has always been an aggressive coach, just like Mike Vrabel's an aggressive coach, just like Frank Reich's an aggressive coach, just like John Harbaugh tends to be an aggressive coach.
It's funny you mentioned that, Boomer, because one of the things that I thought of was, all right, this is a very aggressive move. If this doesn't work out, I know that Andy Reid is well-respected, and he got his Super Bowl last year. But are we all crushing Andy Reid this morning,
most
saying,
likely,
punt the football back? You got Chad Henne. You're giving the Browns a football back with half a field down less than a touchdown? What are you, nuts?
The only time we crush people is when it doesn't work.
When
it works, you know, it's you're the greatest coach of all time.
But it was ballsy. It was certainly ballsy.
Especially with a backup quarterback. And, you know, it's not like it – I'm telling you, the game is so much different offensively, and it's still obviously extremely physical when it comes to quarterbacks, as we talked about the concussions that these two players took. But they do so much more out of the shotgun now, and it's such an easier kind of thing to do. You know, if that were Cam Newton, he would have thrown it in the ground.
Sure.
You know, that's the kind of season that Cam had up there in New England. But, you know, Chad Henne, like I said, has been around, was calm, took a big, deep breath, threw the bad interception, rolled to his right and drove. The play that he made that was awesome was the play before that.
Yeah, the third down. Yeah,
the third down run.
And how does he see that? You know, like how does he see that and make that happen in that situation?
I didn't
realize
he was that good of an athlete that he could still run like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, when you think Chad Henne, you think of a guy who, in the opportunities that he got, he failed miserably, and he's now a backup that you don't want to see in a game.
Yeah. And by the way, so I was listening to Saturday night game up in Buffalo. You know, and Chris and Al are talking about, you know, oh, there's a breeze and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, two guys that have never played quarterback before in their lives. I think Chris actually did play, but it was in Florida where there was no wind. So when they're showing the flags,
yeah,
you know, I'm like, are you guys out of your mind? And now I played in that stadium in conditions like that. It is like impossible. And like, if you are not mentally prepared to go into a game in those conditions and throw the ball, you're a mess. I think both quarterbacks really struggled throwing the ball, which really made me wonder why Greg Roman and the Baltimore Ravens wouldn't try to run the ball more, especially with the way the game started and how effective they were. And they're a bigger team than Buffalo, though. If they put the ball in Lamar Jackson's hands, and then next thing you know, it's a 101-yard touchdown interception return. And you're like, what are they doing?
Yeah, from a game plan standpoint, and this wasn't hindsight, this is watching it unfold. The Buffalo Bills just were head and shoulders ahead of where the Baltimore Ravens were. Now, I know that Brian Daboll and Josh Allen, you know, they didn't run the ball. It was just throw. But it was working. And I just don't – how many times do we talk about going into this game, the Baltimore Ravens and their rushing offense, and how the Buffalo Bills are going to be suspect in that area, and you have to run, and you got to make sure that you take advantage of that. And the Bills' defense stepped up. The Ravens didn't do it enough. They put Lamar Jackson in tough situations, and he failed miserably. And that's going to be a question heading into – yeah, he got that playoff win, big run against the Titans, played well. But, I mean, to have – that offense looked like that in that game with him at the helm, and when the ball was basically put in his hands to go win it, and to him fall flat on his face in the way that he did, I mean, that's just question marks galore.
Well, you have question marks galore for the Ravens, for the Jets. You know, I'm sure that the Browns and the Bills will extend their young quarterbacks. You know, that quarterback class is really up for contract extensions right now. Everybody's wondering what the Jets are going to do, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Everybody, you know, would think that, okay, Lamar was the MVP last year. You got to extend him, much like Houston extended Deshaun Watson. But you see what happens when you extend people and you give guaranteed money. Now, sure, all of a sudden, they become disgruntled and they feel like they should be running the team and they should be making the decisions. Meanwhile, they're, you know, in Cabo on a beach as opposed to being back at the facility, yeah, working 24/7 trying to get it right.
I will say, though, and I it's impossible the way that you presented that to me. It's impossible for me to argue it, because I don't love the way that looks when someone says that they want involvement and then, you know, they're doing things that they're doing in their personal time and then it looks bad. But I think that both me and you agree that Deshaun Watson is a good guy, a really good player, and he wants to win. I don't want to take him having a vacation with his girlfriend as some sort of like, this guy's the James Harden of the NFL.
Well,
I don't believe that.
He signed a 4-year deal. He wanted the 4-year deal for $154 million or something. And believe me, I understand being disgruntled. I was disgruntled as a player at one point in time in 1992. So I understand that. Like, nobody wants to start over. Nobody wants to start over with an inexperienced coach. I don't even know who they're going to hire as a coach. As a matter of fact, the Chargers announced last night that Brandon Staley is going to be their head coach. And he was the one-year wonder for the defense of the L.A. Rams. And I wouldn't doubt if you were the Chargers owner and you were watching Buffalo, because I thought everybody, and I still believe this should have happened, that Brian Daboll, the offense coordinator from Buffalo, should have been the next head coach of the Chargers, just simply because of the quarterbacks and everything else, and because of Daboll's history and all that other stuff. But I believe, because they didn't even attempt to run the ball against Baltimore, I wouldn't be surprised if the Charger ownership, because I know this, you know, didn't like that game plan, didn't like the way it looked, and it's not exactly what they want.
Interesting.
You know, believe me, they yelled at Frank as an offensive coordinator, and they yelled at him, but they basically said, look, we need to run the ball more. And Frank was like, you know, well, Melvin Gordon's hurt. We don't have a running back. So our best player happens to be our quarterback.
Wow,
and our
so
other
like
best
Dean
players.
Spanos, is that into like running the football?
Yeah. Well,
that's a weird one.
Well, look.
Everybody is.
So they all are.
I'm not.
Which is really interesting. So they hire the defensive coach thinking, let's get the defense right because we know we got the offense right. And maybe the defensive coach is going to want to keep the offensive coaches there because Justin Herbert had such a great year. But all right. So this brings us to the Jets and Deshaun Watson. So Jet fans, I believe that if Mike Tannenbaum were your general manager, this would probably happen. I believe that he would move heaven and earth to make this happen.
Well, it wouldn't even really be heaven and earth because it's pretty obvious what would get it done because the Jets have the assets.
I'm saying
he would do it. He would pull the trigger.
I believe that he was so aggressive as a general manager that he would definitely go right down this road and try to make it happen. Now, I wouldn't want to get Jet fans' hopes up too high simply because always remember Deshaun Watson still has a no-trade clause in his contract. So if, in fact, that he and Houston are going to separate, he has the ability to control where he wants to go. And almost every report about Deshaun Watson has said that he hasn't asked for a trade yet. He hasn't uttered those words. But people that are in the know that talk to agents all the time, both player agents and GM agents and coaching agents and everybody else, because those mainly are where these leaks come from, believe that if he is going to get traded, that he wants to go to Miami and he wants to be with Brian Flores and he wants to be with that team. And that team also has what you would describe as the assets to go and get him. So, like, we could talk about this from a Jet perspective. I think it would be unbelievable if somehow, some way, they got their hands on Deshaun Watson. I just don't think it's realistic to think that Deshaun Watson would come here. But there's one reason why he may come here. Because, again, it's being reported by multiple NFL insiders that Deshaun Watson wanted the Texans to interview Rob Saleh.
Wow. Well, all right. You know Daniel Jeremiah, right?
Of course, yes.
Draft guy. So he put this out yesterday, and he's a guy that I think is in the know and knows what's going on in the world of the NFL.
His passion is the NFL. So what he's saying is not it's not outlandish, but it is it's definitely something that has to be considered. But I just don't.
Well, let me read it so people who didn't see it. So Daniel Jeremiah tweeted yesterday: if Watson became available via trade, the Jets should call. You could trade second pick this year, second overall. They still have the 23rd overall pick. First in 2022. They have two first-round picks in 2022. And first in 2023. That's three first-round picks. They could pick up extra pick or picks if they traded Sam. And then he put in parentheses, which I thought was funny. This is my gift to Sports Talk Radio.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was just doing that to stir the pot. I just think that was him trying to be funny. But, I mean, it's feasible.
Yeah, I think he was just trying to be, look, this is the world that I live in. This is what I know. I used to be a general manager. I know how these things work. I know what the draft board is. I know what the equations are. I know what the numbers are, the Jimmy Johnson list, which they kind of deviate a little bit away from. But, yeah, it's also Deshaun Watson having control of where he can go if, in fact, he wants to force a trade. You know, as we sit here today in January, I do believe that he wants out of Houston, but I can't confirm that. I can only go by what I'm reading and what I'm seeing, and you know, the fact that that Houston Texans organization is cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and the way they run things down there is crazy. Now, this Nick Caserio that went there from the Patriots, and they paid him a lot of money, he may not want this headache. You know, he may not want to be reaching out to this player, and he may want to start over down there. And whether it's Sam Darnold going there or Tua Tagovailoa going there or one of the top draft choices going there, all of that makes sense for both of the clubs. It all depends on how much of a pain in the neck Deshaun Watson wants to become. But Jet fans should just realize Deshaun may not want to come here. He may want to go to Miami, and that's what he may force, just like James Harden forced a trade to Brooklyn.
Right, so this has happened a ton in the NBA. It's happened a few times in the NFL, but there has never been a situation like this where it's a franchise quarterback. The two examples I can give of somebody forcing themselves out of a situation and going somewhere else because they were so unhappy are two guys that are people who have caused some problems. One, Antonio Brown. He forced himself out of Pittsburgh, the dead cap money, everything. He didn't want to be there any longer. He went to Oakland. We know his story. The other's Jalen Ramsey. Jalen Ramsey got to a point there down in Jacksonville where he was feuding with Doug Marrone. There were issues. He was complaining about challenges. They got into it. He ended up getting benched and then traded to the Rams, where he's been a model citizen and he's gotten his money. So I try to think, is there a...
I got a guy for you. I got a guy who forced himself out, was really unhappy, and it was called at the time the greatest trade in the history of the NFL by the guy who made the trade. The guy who made the trade was you, 333 or 36-1 Jackson, when he was the head coach of the Raiders. And it was Carson Palmer, our buddy, who forced himself out of Cincinnati. You know, I would kind of say that I kind of forced myself out of Cincinnati as well. But the Bengals, see, like, this is where I do have some sort of sympathy for Deshaun Watson, and where I also have sympathy for Sam Darnold. Because there are decisions that are being made that you really have no input in making.
Mm-hmm.
And those decisions directly affect what happens to you on the field. So in 1991, at the end of the 91 season, the Cincinnati Bengals decided to fire Sam Wyche, the guy who basically taught me how to play quarterback in the NFL, okay, along with the great assistant coaches that were there, including Bruce Coslett, who was the offensive coordinator. When they fired him, I immediately called the owner of the Bengals and said, like, I don't want to go through a rebuild at the age of 32 years old. I mean, I'm not going through this. This is the coach that I believed in. This is the coach that I've had some struggles with, of course, but a guy that I think unfairly you're running out of town, and now we're going to have to start all over again. I don't want to do that. And they brought in David Shula as the head coach. He was on our staff anyway, but he had never been a head coach before. And I like, they wanted me to stay there to help him become a head coach, and that's when they drafted David Klingler. So I was completely unhappy in 1982 and wanted to get out of there. And then they honored my trade request before the 93 draft.
Yeah, 1992 you're talking about.
1992, yes. Yeah. Yes. So I understand why Deshaun Watson would want to be a little bit more in control of who's coaching him and how this is all going down. And I can see the frustration that he has.
And it does look like that organization is a mess.
Oh,
it's not like he doesn't have a point.
Dude, it's a disaster.
Right. So,
now, but you're hoping that Nick Caserio comes in and whatever the owner and Easterby are doing.
But he was hired by those guys.
But let them go do what they want to do. Let him run the football team. And if Deshaun keeps pushing, then I wouldn't be surprised if he goes to Miami. I really wouldn't be, especially if Miami, for whatever reason, in a short period of time, has already soured on Tua Tagovailoa, which also could be the case.
Yeah, it's not like he was blowing the doors off of people this year. I know you got to give him time, but it wasn't like Justin Herbert.
No, I know. I just don't see Joe Douglas being Mike Tannenbaum. Do you?
Guys like this don't become available in this way. And when your organization is ready to make a move like that. So I know what you're saying from the standpoint of the way that Joe Douglas wants to build the team, so I would agree with you there. But I think anybody could be swayed into going out and getting a quarterback at this stage of his career who's available, who's 25 years old.
But again, he controls where he wants
to
go. That is a big ingredient in this whole thing. And everybody has to realize that that is a big part of it. So you can't just say, go do it.
Yeah.
Now, do you make a phone call?
Oh, of course.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, just like Joe Douglas took phone calls on Jamal Adams, he will pick up the phone and he will talk about a potential to see whether or not this is actually real. That's part of his job. That's what he does. Now, he's not going to tell you he's doing that unless, of course, it gets out somehow, some way. And then all of a sudden it's going to whet the appetite of Jet fans. But I'm just – all I'm saying is while it's great and it's good talk show fodder, and I appreciate Daniel Jeremiah doing that for
everybody.
There's a lot of hurdles. And the biggest one being, where does Deshaun Watson want to go? Does he want to come to a 2-14 team? Or does he want to go to a team that almost made the playoffs, that if they had better quarterback play, most likely would have made the playoffs?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
What's happening, Jerry?
Morning, brought to you by Bruni and Campisi, home comfort and efficiency company serving Westchester, Fairfield, Rockland, and Putnam counties. We'll take them late to early. And the games that ended last night, of course, Bucks Saints in New Orleans. And you guys mentioned him in the open, and he certainly played big, Devin White.
Shotgun snap to Breeze on second down and 8. Looks, throws right side, intercepted by Devin White. Down the far sideline, 35, to the 30, to the 25, to the 20, and pushed out of bounds. Devin White intercepts Drew Brees, the second pick today for the Bucs defense, the third turnover they have forced.
Yeah, Ryan Radke, Westwood 1 on the fan. Big play, no doubt, because it led to another Bucs score, 30-20. The final, this one on the ground.
Second down and goal from the 1. Two tight ends right. Brady takes the snap, dives straight ahead, and he is in for the Tampa Bay touchdown.
And you can turn out the lights. The Bucs on their way to the NFC Championship game. The offensive numbers, nothing great here. I mean, Tom Brady threw for 199 yards, but did account for the 3 scores. And, of course, Drew Brees just 134 through the air. 1 touchdown, 3 picks. Here's Bruce Arians. Well done, Mr. White.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, just to see Devin make those plays, and that's what he's capable of making, you know. Everybody was criticizing how he can't cover anybody. I think he just proved he can.
I don't know who's criticizing him. Everybody's dead. And I said it last week, you know, thank God they're getting him back because
the COVID list, right?
Yeah, he is. Oh, I think he had, I want to say a thigh contusion or something, but that guy is all over the place making tackles. And I mean, when he makes a tackle, like, you know you're getting hit by a Mack truck. You know, the interesting thing, the Saints are winning this game and driving in late in the third quarter, and Jared Cook fumbles the ball.
Huge play.
And then Drew Brees tries to throw a ball to Alvin Kamara. He's not even ready for it and throws the interception. I mean, those two plays alone basically cost them the game. They handed the game to Tom Brady and the Bucs.
I thought the Cook play changed that game, and the fumble out of bounds in the first game, which we'll get to in a minute, game too.
3 years in a row getting bounced from the postseason as a home favorite. Man, I tell you, that's what they do.
You're just so happy
this
morning.
That's just what they do.
You said you hated the Bucs too.
I do, but that's more because they signed Antonio Brown. But
By the way, who was MIA last night.
Yeah, one catch, 10 yards, that was it.
How about Michael Thomas being MIA?
Yeah, well, he's a guy who loves to run his mouth, that guy.
Something's going on with Michael Thomas.
Loves to run his mouth. Last year, after they lost to the Vikings, ran his mouth. Oh, this team shouldn't be there, blah, blah, blah. You shouldn't be there because you're fraud.
Fraud!
Fraud!
Yeah, he got a big contract too, man, and he got sat down this year, a little bit of discipline issues and all sorts of stuff, and then just basically was not a factor at all. They didn't
fraud!
Think they
fraud!
Threw the ball.
Here's Breeze. So is this it?
Well, I'll answer this question one time, and that is that I'm going to give myself an opportunity to think about the season, think about a lot of things. Just like I did last year.
Perhaps that's true, Eddie. I don't know.
Is that Bruce Beck chiming in?
I think it was Eddie chiming in.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's where he's going. Yeah, we do know that.
One other thing in this game, Todd Bowles, Bucs defensive coordinator, to interview with the Eagles today for their head coaching job. All right, the earlier game saw the Chiefs and the Browns. We know the storyline by now. Patrick Mahomes goes out with a concussion. Chad Henne finishes the game out. And, of course, you have the fourth and inches. They line up in the shotgun. You got Nance and Romo saying they're going to try and draw him off sides, run the clock down, maybe call timeout, and then probably do a quarterback sneak. Well, they were wrong.
Oh, there is a play. Henne rolling out, throws it. Hill! And the Chiefs are heading to the AFC Championship game. Only Andy Reid gets it shotgun on fourth of an inch and throws the ball with the backup quarterback. There's no way. He shocked everybody.
Well,
I mean, that is impossible. I've never seen it.
He shocked you, Tony, who was also shocked by the fact that Chad Henne didn't get the first down. He had a rough couple plays there. And I think that he is someone who can't, you know, he's going to be criticized more because of the money that he makes, and everybody knows that. At the end of this game, he had a rough stretch because he was screaming his head off with Chad Henne getting. But he said he got the first down. He sent him to an AFC Championship game when it was clear, if you're watching the game, that was in doubt. He did not make that first down clean.
Oh, come on, Romo, you suck.
He just got all excited.
And then after that, he goes, they're not running a play. Look at their body language. They're not running a play. They're just going to go up there and not run a play. Just don't move. And then, oh, my God, he shocked the world. No, I mean, he shocked you. I mean, I'm sure that Boomer, you might have been watching that game and said, hey, they're going to run this particular play in this situation probably like they did against New Orleans a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it wasn't like the craziest thing on earth that he did that.
No, they also did it against Miami.
And you guys showed that. You guys had that ready. That was pretty good.
Right.
And
that's come on, Romo, you suck.
No, but you know, in real time, yeah. When you're sitting there and it's not Patrick Mahomes, you're wondering, is Andy Reid going to do this? And not only did he do it,
you can wonder if Andy Reid's going to do this. What Tony Romo said was, they're not running a play. Right. You can tell by their body language. I just thought that was, poor analysis.
I would also tell you, because Kansas City is just so unique offensively and they try different things, usually it's because the quarterback can handle it.
Right.
I would not be surprised if they told the guys to stand there like they're not running a play. Like, make it look like you're not running a play. And we're really going to run a play.
Sure.
And even Myles Garrett said after the game, he goes, look, man, I put this on a defense. We had a chance to stop them twice, and we could not get them off the field.
Hey, 3rd and 14.
Yes, and Chad Henne made a hell of a run.
Yes, he did.
A hell of a run.
They win 22-17. Here's Reed about Henne.
Yeah, listen, when you're around him, you just know. I mean, I'm glad he had an opportunity to play a week or two ago there whenever.
Yeah,
and that's what Phil said in the postgame show.
Right.
I give Phil a lot of credit because I'm always against guys not playing, but maybe in this case, the fact that he did play, it worked out for them. And Look, anything is possible.
Right.
Oh, God.
Any given Sunday. Right. What do you think the better look for Andy Reid is?
I don't like that mask.
The shield or the banana hammock that he's been wearing on his face?
Yeah, I like the shield better.
Yeah, the shield looks a hell of a lot better.
I don't know why he's wearing that hammock.
I think because this is my guess, because he went shield to banana hammock, and it's like he probably doesn't like the mask being that close to his face, so they probably made him one where there's more space there so he can fit his microphone thing underneath to be able to call the plays. That's my guess. But, I mean, you would think that he's hiding his penis nose under there or something.
Right, right.
You know?
So who is calling the plays? Eric Bieniemy calling the plays, or is it Andy Reid calling the plays?
I thought it was Andy Reid.
I'm just wondering.
I don't know. Didn't you tell me it was Andy Reid?
It's Andy Reid.
Okay, yeah. So it's Andy Reid. Why don't you just say Andy Reid's calling the plays?
I mean, there's a reason why Andy Reid has that big sheet in front of him.
Sure, because he's
calling it's not just in between play reading.
Right.
Here was Kevin Stefanski talking about the fumble by Rashard Higgins that goes through the end zone or out the end zone for the touchback.
You know, I will never, ever doubt Rashard Higgins' effort or our guy's effort. Our rule there is not to reach the ball out. It's first and goal.
Everybody screams about the rule, which is true. I mean, it seems too punitive for that situation. But everybody knows what the rule is, and Kevin Stefanski just said, I teach our guys not to do that in that situation. The bigger issue with that play is it was helmet to helmet, which we've seen worse called this year, and they didn't call that. That, to me, is the bigger issue.
But, Greg, my question would be, where is there an official that can see it? Because if you're behind it, I don't know that you can. You know, he does go in with his shoulder. The air is helmet to helmet. There's no question. I just don't know if the angle is proper, and if you can't challenge it.
Well, that leads us to the next question. That's something that should be challengeable. I think that's more of a challengeable play than pass interference ever was.
Right.
I don't know where the back judge is on that. That's a good question, Jerry. I'd like to know where that back judge was and his view of that play.
He may not even be thinking about that play. That's the problem. You know, that because it's one of the new things in the NFL. The lowering the helmet. It's not called targeting. It's not called and ruled the way it is in college. And, you know, quite frankly, it is something that I do believe should be reviewable. I think that the Browns got, I don't want to say screwed here, but, you know, Higgins fumbles the ball at the end zone. I hate that extreme penalty. That's a penalty, too, essentially. It's a turnover, and nobody's recovering the ball. And I don't know why we always give it back to the defensive team. But, you know, they ask every year, they ask in our meetings with the NFL suggestions about different things just to see if something comes up. And I'm sure they read all of them. And every year I write in, you know, get rid of this stupid touchback, you know, for a fumble out of the end zone by an offensive team. I don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be some sort of compromise. Maybe the down, you know, the down is the down, but you put the ball back on the 20-yard line or something.
Right. I mean,
and the offense still retains the football because the defense, you know, what did they do? I mean, I guess they forced the fumble. But they didn't recover it.
Well, I just love the fact that Kevin Stefanski didn't go all in on this is a stupid rule. You know, what he said was we coach our guys not to reach in that situation because you got first and goal on the one.
The rule is the rule because and all 32 teams play by the same rule. I just don't like the rule.
Neither do I. But
it's way, like you said, too punitive. It's too extreme. And then on top of that, there should be review for, I think, those types of hits. If you're trying to get those hits out of the game and Pete Carroll teaches his players to do that. And I know every coach teaches their players to do that. They don't want their player leading with this helmet like that. But that to me is a penalty.
Championship Sunday, Bucks in Green Bay, and you've got Kansas City home for Buffalo. As we know, the Packers and the Bills winning on Saturday. The Lions expected to hire New Orleans assistant Dan Campbell as their new head coach, and the new coach of the Chargers will be Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley.
I can't believe it. I did that game in Week 17. And he was on a Zoom call that I got it.
You told me he looked 12 years old.
I said, and it was interesting. Tracy Wolfson asked him,
Are you 12 years old?
No. Oh. Thank you, Alex.
That would be awesome.
Tracy Wolfson asked him, how does it feel to have your name circulating as a potential head coach candidate?
Sure.
And he wasn't like he was surprised. He knew it, obviously. But it was like Tracy Wolfson was all over it that, you know, he was going to be considered. You know, the interesting, too, is I thought maybe Brian Daboll's offensive performance on Saturday night may have had something to do with this. The other thing that could have had something to do with this is that if the Chargers wanted either one of those guys, you know, one is out of the playoffs, yeah. The other one is in the playoffs, and the Chargers may want to get started on putting a coaching staff together. So hire the guy now so he at least has an opportunity to go get the coaches he wants.
Knicks blew out the Celtics by 30.
How about
105
that?
To 75. They snap a five-game losing streak, 20 for Julius Randle. R.J. Barrett had 19. Here was Barrett, said they had an extra gear on MSG.
We came out with energy and aggression, you know, from the tip. And, you know, we just played hard and played well together. Played great defense, and I think that's what really won us this game.
And Obi Toppin had 12 points in 17 minutes.
They need to follow this up with a win today. So they play noon today against Orlando, who got drilled by the Nets. They need to win this game today. This show us something.
You're going must-win game for the Knicks right now?
Yeah, because you know what? I mean, they had lost five in a row. They played tough in Cleveland. They lost that game.
Must win.
But I don't know. Like win this game today. Like, I want them to show.
Oh, yeah. Of course. I know exactly what you're saying, but I mean,
it's like I needed the Rangers on Saturday night to show up and play and show some freaking pride. Yeah, and they did.
And so did the Devils, oh, by the way, with a overtime win themselves. Also of note, Nets-Bucks tonight. Kyrie Irving.
Questionable. Yeah, upgraded to questionable. Fingers crossed.
So he has met all the protocols for sitting out and quarantine and all that other stuff. The question is, how much did they fine him? $900,000?
I don't know the answer to that, but
somewhere around 900,000 he lost.
James Harden did make his debut on Saturday, and I can tell you, hell of a trade. That looked outstanding the other night.
And by the way, I'm saying that Gio is 100% correct in claiming that James Harden was wearing a fat suit.
He had
out
to
there
have been.
And used it in pregame warm-up.
And I'm with him. But I didn't think he looked as great as everybody was making him out to look when I was watching the game.
He didn't, but there was
he looks chunky.
Right. He's still not anywhere near his best shape he's been in, but there's no doubt that in warm-ups in Houston, he had some sort of stuffing
there.
Because
fat.
The warm-ups that he had in with the Nets, and then with we even said it then, like his warm-up to his uniform is drastically different. He's still not in the best shape he's ever been in by a lot. But that warm-up to uniform was just crazy.
Yep.
So I don't know what he did, if he actually bought something that he put on, like from a movie set, or he just put like extra like sweatpants or layers on, but he looked terrible.
So they have Milwaukee tonight, right?
Yeah. They do.
And that's a huge game. And that's in Brooklyn, right?
It is.
Okay. So now the question is they say Kyrie has been working out and shooting and everything else.
Yeah.
They have to activate him tonight, don't they?
Well,
no.
Yeah, I mean,
they don't.
You've met this man, right? Or you know about Kyrie.
Big three, though. I mean, do you think Kyrie saw what happened between Harden and Durant and said, you know, I got to get myself back in there?
I every question that starts with, do you think Kyrie, blank, I can't answer. I don't know. I have no idea what he's thinking or doing. I've got no educated guess anymore. I'm done. I have no idea.
And over the weekend, the Yankees signing Corey Kluber to a one-year contract.
All right, very good. Jerry?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
So you're just talking about James Harden in the debut. Him and Kevin Durant looked great together.
They did.
In that first game, without having played with one another in a long time, all the talk surrounding the deal, the team looked like they were unaffected by shipping out some of the guys who had been there for a while. And in that first game, that first glance, they looked great. So adding Kyrie to the mix, you expect they're going to have some moments like that. I also think there's going to be some moments where things look like they're falling apart, of course, in this long season. But a first impression does mean something. And the first impression with James Harden and Kevin Durant was, uh-oh, look out.
There's a triple-double, dude.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's a 40-point triple-double guy at any moment, James Harden. We know this about him.
First game out, triple-double is pretty good.
Well, we also know, you know, the other side of James Harden, but when he's great, like it was that night, I mean, he's a 35-point, 40-point triple-double kind of guy.
Well, you heard his press conference. He basically said, man, I'm a baller. I know what I'm doing out there. I know what's going on. Essentially, I'm paraphrasing, but he was very confident in his own ability to share the ball and to facilitate and – I'm not just a dribble, shoot guy that I can get everybody involved. I don't have to be the player that I was in Houston because I'm playing with better players here. And maybe Joe Harris is the guy. You know, the amazing thing about what happened the other night, because I have to admit, I watched it because I wanted to see it.
Of course.
How many open looks other guys got?
Oh, yeah. Well, of course. I mean, that's part of the deal. So where this team is going to struggle is not going to be scoring points. It's not going to be offensively. Where the team is going to struggle is going to be against bigs. I mean, that's what... So them defending bigs is going to be a huge deal. Now, I know DeAndre Jordan is there. He's not the same player he was a couple years ago.
He's a 25-minute-a-night player.
Like, if I knew that the Nets could pull off this deal and somehow keep Jared Allen, that team right there, I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. You know, to the finals, championship, book it. But that piece of this team is missing. So we'll see where it goes, but you have to give credit where credit's due. James Harden came in with a lot of noise around him and was as impressive as I've seen him.
He's had noise around him ever since his failures in the finals and
right.
in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
So the guy lives with noise around him.
Right, and sometimes he deals with it well, and sometimes he doesn't. He dealt with it very well in that debut.
Because he came in here basically making an embarrassment out of himself with the way that he got himself out of Houston. And it's not just the way we felt about it. It's the way his teammates felt about
it. And the rest of the NBA. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
It wasn't just his teammates. There were other people in other markets and other teams. The guys on TNT who were well-respected. Shaq and Charles Barkley. You know?
I would say I would still echo the words of Shaq here. Okay, it's one game. It's great. It's like, you know, Thursday night with the Rangers. It's one game. Okay, let's respond. And, you know, at least he responded. James Harden did. The real thing is they have to win a championship. They cannot go where when we get to the playoffs and all of a sudden that triple-double disappears.
Oh, yeah, and that's very possible with James Harden. So
that's where that, you know, and that was the whole thing with Tom Brady and Bruce Arians.
Sure.
You know, the fodder leading up to this, you know, was good for us to discuss. It was good for football fans to discuss. But it was going to be when they got to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's an all-in guy. He has taught Tampa Bay how to win. And Tampa Bay has got a bunch of good young players on that team. Now they got to go to Lambeau.
And Aaron Rodgers is playing as good as I've seen him play since the last Super Bowl he won.
It ain't going to be easy.
I mean, I said many times when we were doing those Facebook live situations, whatever we were doing for CBS, that I said in the NFC, it's Green Bay or bust. It's Green Bay. To me, it's Green Bay. Well, we'll see if they can get it done. I mean, Tampa definitely, I mean, I have to give it to him, even though I was so pissed off about the Antonio Brown thing and giving him a shot. He didn't deserve it. They right now are a formidable foe. There's no doubt about it. They have found their way to being a legitimate championship contender. I still think Aaron Rodgers is going to be
up. Here was an interesting stat that I saw yesterday after their game, that Tom Brady is 2-0 without Bill Belichick in the playoffs. Bill Belichick has got one win. with Aaron Tom Brady.
This is what I know that that's going to be the storyline. I get it. But let's not act like Bill Belichick is some sort of dunce. I mean, this guy is still going to go down as the greatest NFL coach in my mind. Like,
Do you think this maniac Urban Meyer wants to get back into coaching?
Well, yeah, because there's a lot of reasons why.
60 million reasons, right. First and foremost. Yeah. And then the second one would be Trevor
Lawrence. Yeah,
yes, exactly.
So I mean, but I don't like those conversations because we don't know what would have happened if Tom Brady had a different coach. We really don't know what would have happened if Bill Belichick had a different quarterback. The two of them together created something really, really special. I'll still take Bill Belichick over just about anybody as a head coach in the NFL.
Peyton Manning and Tony Dungy had something special.
Sure, and they didn't get it done.
And Peyton Manning and
They did. Not like the Patriots did.
Right, but then Peyton Manning went to Denver, and Peyton Manning and John Fox had something special.
Well, I know you are a quarterback, and you're always going to side with the quarterback. And I have.
I think the coach is the most important hire a team can make.
Okay, all right.
But I do know that it helps to have a Hall of Fame driven, dedicated maniac behind center that all he cares about is winning football.
100%.
Games.
And nobody's arguing that. I just don't like some of these conversations that happen. Like, it was all Tom Brady in New England. See, you just saw how this season went. Stop.
Oh, there were so many games that Bill Belichick made decisions on the sideline, much like Andy Reid made a decision yesterday at the end of the game to win the game, that won games for the Patriots, regardless of who was playing quarterback.
Right.
You know, he may have made a decision on defense. He made a decision to tell the defense. I'll never forget doing a Monday night game and him telling his defense to let Denver score, Denver not realizing that they were allowed to score. They score. He also took a safety in one of these games where, you know, punted it back to a team, and then then his defense stopped the team, and then the offense got the ball back, and then they went down and scored. I mean, like, there's a million decisions that coaches make, much like Kevin Stefanski was making in the second half yesterday. You know, he'll learn. He's a rookie head coach, and he got a little trigger happy with a red flag and lost himself a timeout and then blew it because they didn't get a play in. And had a blow timeout.
Sure.
And those are rookie mistakes. Yeah,
even with that, though, they had the ball with plenty of time and down a score, and the offense couldn't get it done. So, yeah, they didn't give themselves that second chance.
And the defense couldn't get Chad Henne and the offense off the field.
Right. So, I mean, even with the timeout situation, which I know would have helped, and the game ended sooner because of that for them, and they ran out of opportunities, they had their opportunities. You know, that's all you ask for. If you're a Browns fan, they get that ball in the fourth quarter, you know, with whatever it was, 8 minutes to go, and it got down to something like four, and you have the ball in your hands down less than a touchdown with Chad Henne being the quarterback and Mahomes being ruled out, you're thinking we're winning this game.
All right, so tell me which team gives their quarterback a contract extension first, Buffalo, Cleveland, or Baltimore?
Oh, Buffalo.
By far.
100%. Yes. I don't even have to think twice about that.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.